runasradio.com. You're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell and Greg Hughes. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 178 with guest Alan Burchell, recorded Tuesday, August 31st, 2010. Run As Radio is produced each week by Quap Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com. You can follow the boys on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell. I'm coming to you from New Zealand. Been traveling between the tech heads, and I'm talking to Alan Burchell.
That's right.
Hey, Alan. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
And you were at TechEd Australia as well. Now we're at TechEd New Zealand.
I was, yeah. TechEd Australia. It was a great session, but it's a great event, but it's great to be over here as well.
Oh, they're loving your stuff, man. I've seen the tweets flying.
Yeah. I've already done one session so far, and it was packed out.
Who knew group policy could be so exciting?
Who knew? Well, I knew,
but it
was just me
and Jeremy Moskowitz, and that's about it.
That's right. So I have to shout it from the tallest building that how awesome it is.
Sure.
And I did a session on group policy preferences,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of people seem to not realize what they can actually do with group policy. They used to use Windows 2000. They looked at group policy there, and they pretty much think, "Oh, there might be a few new settings in there, but nothing's really changed."
That was the first version of AD, and we were just sort of getting our handle on what it could do. That, and it didn't do a lot.
No, well, I think it did a lot, but it did a lot. It was very predefined.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't go outside the box. You had your settings; they were defined. You had some ability to go in and set custom settings, but you had to go in and start handcrafting ADM files and files that the group policy used, which was a real pain.
Mm-hmm.
So you had a very predefined list. And if you wanted to do something outside that list of settings, you really didn't have too many options.
Well, in most configurations, when I talk to folks that are running AD setups, there's not a lot of policy differences group to group other than administrative roles.
Yeah, that's right. And a lot of the policies that people apply is they'll have a one workstation group policy object. They'll have one user group policy object. They might apply, they might have different OUs for individual sites. So they could apply a logon script, mm-hmm. say site A and site B could have the users in site A could have a different logon script to the users in site B. But it was very, very flat how a lot of people applied them.
And I think it's partly they don't know what all is in there, but how granularly can you have group policies applied? I guess it's down to the individual user account.
You can, but every time you create a new group policy object, it makes your Active Directory all the more bigger.
Right.
Every group policy object's about 5 megabytes.
Okay.
So that adds to the system volume. You got replication. If you've got a lot of domain controllers, that's just adding to the amount of files you have to replicate around your network.
Sure.
WAN traffic is, WANs cost a lot of money. You want to utilize them best as possible. So there's a lot of things that you can do to make that more efficient. Windows Server 2008 has DFSR replication now.
Right.
So you can reduce a lot of things.
Only replicating the differences, the changes.
Yeah, that's right. And so there was a lot of new things that came out with Windows Server 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those was group policy preferences.
So for the uninitiated, what's the difference?
So group policy preferences are a bunch of new settings for group policy. There was a product called Policymaker, and Microsoft bought the company who wrote that product, but they had a whole heap of new settings in there. You could do drive mappings with group policy.
Oh.
You could do printer mappings. You can even do Windows XP power plans, something that you couldn't do out of the box with Windows XP.
Right. These sound like stuff you normally have in a login script.
Yeah, that's right. So, certainly drive mappings and printer mappings
are mm-hmm.
Settings that you see all the time in logon scripts. You know, if user is member of this group, then map this drive.
Right.
If user is member of that group, then map this printer. Well, group policy preferences can now just do that for you out of the box. And it's not only just because it came out with Windows 2008, they've actually released a client-side extension so that you can actually go back and apply these new settings to Windows XP Service Pack 2 or Windows Vista or even Windows Server 2003 so that you can actually get all the benefits of group policy preferences even in your existing environment. So, there's no requirement to upgrade all your machines to Windows 7 to take advantage of this. Windows 7's better.
Yeah.
The client-side extensions are out of the box.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, there's no need to go out and install this very small program that gives you the client-side extension. So, it's basically just a processing engine on your machine that lights up these new settings.
So, where do I get it initially?
Oh, if you just go to downloads.microsoft.com.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be two things you'll need, generally speaking. You need to download the Group Policy client-side extension. So, just look up for client-side extensions on downloads.microsoft.com. You can download them from there. If you've got optional updates turned on in Windows Update, you'll see Group Policy client-side extensions as an option that you can download and install.
Cool.
So, a lot of people, you're probably just one tick box away from getting it, these new features. The other thing you need is you need to be running Group Policy Management Console on at least a Windows Vista machine, right? But it's better to always, you know, newest is better. So, Windows 7. So, if you are running Windows Vista, that's fine. You can download the Remote Server Admin Tools. Again, go downloads.microsoft.com.
Mm-hmm.
Just go RSAT. You should be able to find it from there. But then you can install the Group Policy Management Console, and they give you the ability to edit the new settings. You go in, you edit a group policy object, you'll have a policy section, but then underneath that, you'll have preferences. Under there, I mentioned drive mappings, printer mappings, power plans. You can control, an interesting one is services. In the old Windows 2000 native group policies, you could configure a service to be automatic or disabled, but you'd have to wait for that user to reboot that machine for that to become effective. You can now go in and say, if the service is running, start it, which basically means that you don't have to wait for the computer to reboot, but then every 90 minutes or so, when the group policy refreshes, that service will start or attempt to start if it's not already started.
Right.
All right. So, you can make those sorts of configuration changes. There's even some great things in there that admins set in their logon scripts. You know, a lot of the time I'll see, you know, the local administrator password has been set via their logon script and it's in there as a clear text.
Right, right. Because all login scripts are clear text.
That's right. Really big security flaw.
Sure.
You can actually set the local administrator password using group policy preferences. And within, again, 90 minutes or from you making that change or, you know, maybe a little bit longer, all your machines in your organization can have a new local administrator password.
Now, in the end, these group policy packages, they're text files too, aren't they?
They are. So, with the new extensions, so for the local administrator password, the password's stored in system volume as a hash. So, there's a bit of a word of warning when you use this is that it's stored as a hash, and so it is an encrypted string. So, someone who just goes perusing through the system volume sees this new setting.
Yeah, isn't going to be able to type that in. It's not that simple.
No, but it is encryption that's known, especially to the hackers.
Once you've got your hands on a hash, you're most of the way there.
That's right.
If you know what you're doing.
If you know what you're doing. But, so to get around this, I recommend to people push out that policy, push it out for maybe a couple of days, make sure that all your computers that are connected get that policy, then remove the policy. That way, that hash is gone.
Right.
A lot of people say, oh, I still don't like that. And so, I go to them, when was the last time you changed your local administrator password? Was it 5 years ago?
Right, right. Right.
If it was, then every past IT administrator in your organization that has now come and gone, left the organization, still knows your local administrator password.
And then some, of course.
And then some.
The longer the password persists, the more people know it. It's inevitable.
Exactly. So, you know, you have to balance.
Yeah.
Security is always a bit of a balance. But,
so, without a doubt, this is better than changing in a login script or not changing it at all.
I'm not a developer.
Right.
Right. You know, I go to Bing, Google, whatever your preference is, and you look for, you know, VB script code samples or Kick script code samples to write your logon script. Or I can look at an existing logon script and I can muddle my way through it. I can look at it. I can understand what it means. But if you ask me to start a logon script from a blank notepad, I'd be lost.
Yeah.
Okay. Where with group policy preferences, it's all GUI-based. A lot of the user interface, if when you're going in and configuring, say, something like the Windows folder options, right? Maybe you want to turn on hidden files and folders. The user interface to do that is actually based on the same user interface that you see when you actually go in and do it manually.
Oh, of course. Yes, yeah, so you already know your way around this.
Exactly. So, the tool is very familiar. They reuse a lot of dialog boxes. Internet Explorer is my favorite. You can configure Internet Explorer 5, 6, 7, and 8. They have different UI for each one of those versions.
Right.
But the UI is, again, exactly the same.
Basically, the Internet Options list.
It is exactly. Right. What you see under Tools, Internet Options, and Internet Explorer, in Group Policy Preferences, that's exactly what you see to configure it.
Sure.
So, there are just heaps of ways but to configure it. So, there's a whole bunch of new settings. But the other thing that comes along with that, for each individual setting now, you can target that individual setting to a specific targeting rule. So, you can target a setting based on security group membership.
Right.
That's pretty obvious.
That's the usual one. This is group policy after
all. Yeah. But each individual setting, you could target on IP address range.
Oh, interesting.
This is really fantastic if you want to deploy printers in your organization. If you want to deploy printers in your organization before, you used to have to apply Group Policy Object to the Active Directory site. Active Directory site might have one Active Directory site for every floor in your building, right? So, everyone in your building might have got the same printer. Well,
that's,
you know,
probably not what you want.
If the printer's on floor 19 and I'm on floor 1, you know, that's not very flexible. But if each floor in your building or maybe each building has its own IP subnet range, you can target that printer to deploy based on the IP range.
It's just an alternative. I mean, I find different people, different organizations use AD differently because there's lots of ways in AD to identify the location of a user so that you can give them a printer in their proximity.
That's right.
But I find lots of folks just don't use that.
No, and that, and this is so much easier because it's all point-and-click user interface.
Right.
There are over 20 ways you can target these settings too. One I was mentioning before, a setting was power plants. Great thing you can do is you can actually target based on the day of the week. So, I can target a aggressive power savings plan for the weekend on, say, apply this power saving plan on Saturday and Sunday, which puts the machine into hibernate after 10 minutes.
Right.
But during the week, so if this policy happens on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or you don't want to go and, right? You got this Boolean logic, so you got to be careful how you word it, though. But if you go on any one of those days, don't put the computer into hibernate, right?
Right.
A less aggressive power saving plan. Now, some friends who use System Center Configuration Manager might actually, they might actually point out that that's going to be a feature of System Center Configuration Manager vNext, I believe.
Yeah.
But you can already do it now in Group Policy Preferences.
Sure. So, with a free tool.
With a free tool.
Yeah, because SCCMM is not free.
No, it's not. And you do get advanced reporting with that tool, for sure. But Group Policy Preferences, and that's a really great point, it's free.
It's free.
There's no cost. There's no back-end server infrastructure. The only server infrastructure you need is your domain controls.
Yeah, you're running a domain. You should be able to do this.
That's right.
Do I need to upgrade my domain to 2008?
No, that's another great question is that you can run Group Policy Preferences with a Windows 2000 native mode Active Directory with no schema changes.
Ooh, chills.
Yeah, if you are...
if you're there, you got to consider upgrading.
Yeah, if you are running... You know, hopefully, it's just the domain mode is 2000 native,
right,
not your domain controllers, because you don't have any support for those Windows 2000 domains anymore.
Man.
But it will work.
Sure.
Because there's no requirements. So, you know, really, the takeaway is, if you've got Windows XP, if you've got an Active Directory, if you have one Windows 7 computer joined to your domain...
Right, which you basically just for the administrative client.
Yeah. Or a Windows Server 2008 R2 server. So, maybe it's in terminal services mode and that could be a management server.
Sure.
And it has Group Policy Management Console installed. You're right to go. Yeah. You're ready to go. It is that easy. So you've got all these new settings. And literally, if you look at through the settings, you'd think that someone took every logon script in the world and say, okay, what are we doing in this logon script? And let's just make it into a preference setting.
Well, this turns, I mean, not that there's anything inherently evil with logon scripts, but they're very procedural and, you know, you have to learn them and they have to debug them. This is turning those steps into something much more declarative.
That's right. So you get a lot of better reporting, I also believe, out of group policy preferences because it integrates with the group policy reports that you can run remotely on a computer. You can see them in a nice HTML layout. You can use your existing group policy troubleshooting tools and skills to apply it. But if you make a mistake in a group policy setting, it's probably that one group policy setting is not going to apply.
Right.
If you make a mistake in a logon script,
nobody's scripts run.
The script breaks.
Especially if you're doing the you know, mother of all script approach, which I think most people take, that tests for everything.
That's
right. You break that script and all of a sudden everybody's scripts barf.
Yeah.
And you get these useless text port calls where I can't find my printer and exactly. You're a long way away from figuring out, oh, it's a bug somewhere deep in the logon script.
That's right. Where with group policy preferences, the help desk can remotely run a report on the user's workstation.
Right, and see what policies are in place.
Exactly. And then they can say, well, you're getting this printer because you're in a security group, this security group.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see when it was last applied. And unlike logon scripts, group policy preferences, a lot of them will refresh every 90 minutes.
Right.
So, that's another really important thing is that preferences are exactly that. They will set or they'll configure an item in Windows, right? But the user still has the ability to change the setting.
Right.
So, if you change the user's homepage, the user can still go into Internet Explorer, go Tools, Internet Options, and change their homepage to whatever they want.
Right.
90 minutes later...
You'll set it back.
It'll set it back.
But I like that whole point of view because login script only runs when you log in. So, that's you're forcing right. people to log in, log out to get the updated
and
settings.
And, of course, all users always log off at the end of the day.
Oh, yeah. They always do, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they don't.
The big lie.
That's right. They really don't. So, this way, you can be sure that your SOE environment is enforced right. every 90 minutes. But, it needs even more. But wait, there's more. Okay. Group policy preferences, most of the settings, almost all settings, have a tick box that says apply this setting once and do not reapply.
Interesting.
So, you can actually set it as a true preference. You as an IT administrator, again, I'm picking on the homepage URL because right. it's so common, can set a homepage URL, tick the box that says apply once, do not reapply. The user can change it and it won't get overwritten.
Yeah, okay. So, if that's in the case of a true preference.
That is a true preference. Right. And that's really fantastic, especially if you just want to configure the user interface. Maybe you want to, you know, allow to see documents on the start menu, right? But the user doesn't like that. So, you can say, well, look, this is what we recommend.
This is sort of the standard, the way we work.
Give the users a little bit of freedom and they won't feel like they're boxed in so much.
Right.
And you maybe, you know, make the users that little bit happier.
But I also like the idea that we get a new printer, we put a standard mapping in it but for certain groups.
That's right.
And within a couple of hours, it's available. No restarts or anything required.
That's exactly right.
Sure.
And even quicker if you get them to just run a GP update. It just appears.
The guy who really wants the printer to say, okay, do this. Now you've got it.
There you go.
But I like not doing a non-standard mapping for the guy who's in a hurry. Just use it through a policy mechanism. There's another angle on this. And I did a show a little while ago with Chris Jackson, who's the apps compatibility genius for Microsoft.
Yes.
Thinking about group policy for application compatibility. Now, I could set up a policy object for a given group that's specifically about trying to keep this old app running. And
that's
there's
right.
certain, especially in this latest conversation I had with him, because I've talked to him a few times. He always blows my mind. Keeping IE6 specific web apps running. So, you've got like what is now policy around protecting about a mixed security modes and pages, which IE6 will just allow. In IE8, it won't allow, so you've got to change the policy settings. And they're bad policies to change.
That's right.
Like, and they look, in a security audit, they look terrible.
Yeah.
So, the idea that you can clearly encapsulate that policy for the people who must run the app.
Yes.
And you know it's for app compat, not for anything
that's
else.
That's right.
Just keep it tidy.
That's right. And that's one of the the things I demoed actually in my session was I was configuring Adobe Acrobat Reader. I was turning off JavaScript by default.
Nice.
Right. So, it's a really good tip is to turn off JavaScript by default in Adobe Acrobat Reader.
Right.
Even Adobe acknowledges this one. So,
It's a bit of an exploit.
It's a bit of an exploit. Yeah. Most PDFs don't have JavaScript in them.
Yeah. The only ones who do aren't nice ones.
That's right. But I did a test and in the targeting, what I did was if the Adobe Acrobat Reader XE, I think it's called AcroRD32.xe, if that file exists, then apply the registry key. So, it means that I'm not... So, if I don't have Adobe Acrobat Reader installed... I'm not unnecessarily applying registry key settings to a machine, which means you're not even targeting on a security group. You're actually targeting on whether or not the executable exists on that machine. So, if someone's manually installed an application... Right, they might not be in the security group.
Sure.
But you're testing on the true test of whether or not that application is
there. Yeah, the way that actually matters.
That's right.
That's interesting.
And it'll apply it. So, that means you're also not unnecessarily configuring a lot of settings for a lot of machines. Mm-hmm. And just makes processing those policies a lot quicker and easier. And you're keeping a cleaner SOE.
Sure. No, that's
good. Standard operating environment.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a nice tip. And we haven't really dug into this yet. Maybe we need to talk more about it. Obviously, we can apply these policies by the security group. What other tests? So you can go and check for the existence of an application.
Yeah. So, you can do a file exists. Mm-hmm. You can check for registry path exists. You can do a test on the value of a registry key. So, if this registry key contains a value, and one that I always do for printers is I check the registry key and sorry, I don't memorize this registry key, but the registry key to test for the default printer.
Right.
And I test that if this user has this printer set as a default printer, then don't remove the printer for them.
Right.
Because if it's their default printer, then they probably really want to keep that.
Right.
But otherwise, remove it. You know, unless, of course, you know, the printer's going away, in which case they really have to get rid of that printer mapping. But otherwise, so you can test on time of day, the date range, and IP range. If you've got a terminal server environment, here's a really great one. You can test on the IP address of the thin client that is connecting to your terminal server.
Wow.
Right. So, if you have a terminal server centrally located in one time zone or one location, you can actually apply a policy based on where they're connecting from.
Interesting.
And a lot of people who use Citrix and terminal services or session virtualization, I think they call it now, find that one to be really useful. You can also still do a WMI query within preferences. I would say that the takeaway from that, though, is WMI filters take a lot of processing overhead, where all the targeting group policy preferences are done using native code. So, it's very quick.
Very light.
Yeah, very light, low processing overhead. By far and away, your processing time is going to be more the actual configuration of the policy rather than trying to figure out whether or not that policy should apply.
Detecting the status, yeah. Well, you can also see... off hour security profiles being different. Like, there's a lot of interesting things now that when you think about it declaratively, stuff you might do in a login script, you'd end up with a monster of a login script.
You would. Scheduled tasks are a good one. You can configure scheduled tasks and you can push them out to your users. And one of the options with scheduled tasks in Vista and above is display a pop-up message, which is great if you've got some planned maintenance.
Right.
Because users, they tend to ignore those emails that come from IT to say, on this day, we're going to be shutting the email server down or the file server's going to go down for whatever reason. You can push out a scheduled task in advance that says, do a pop-up message 10 minutes before this server goes down. It'll pop up on their screen.
Right.
And they have to click OK to get rid of it.
Right.
But it's in their face.
Well, and at the time.
At the time that you want it to appear.
You send that email out 24 hours earlier, they've long forgotten about it.
They have.
So, actually being able to pop up something. Well, and Windows does that itself when doing a forced shutdown or an update or anything, pops that little dialog and says, hey, we're going down in a minute. Hang on.
That gets to get a pretty late in the game. You really want that warning, and you can actually put some description in there, a lot more description. You can give it a proper title and just a standard pop-up dialog box that you can configure to say whatever you want.
Yeah, it's like the old messaging protocol.
It's like NT. Net send message. I think there was a messenger service that was really evil.
but it's really old.
Yeah, it was really old. So, if you're going to do that sort of thing, you have to know that that maintenance is going to happen in advance.
Right.
Because again, group policy every 90 minutes.
Yeah.
If the server has just died and you set this policy to do a pop-up, it's going to be like, 90 minutes later, then everyone might know about it, in which case, hopefully, the server's back up and running.
So, probably 2 or 3 hours before I actually take the server out, I can push that policy out anytime I want, but it doesn't fire till the time.
That's right.
That's interesting. Yeah. So, I say, at this time, pop this, but I send that the day before, and it's a policy that sits there and waits till the appropriate time comes.
That's right.
That's awesome stuff.
It is awesome. It really is.
So, are you actually working with customers to eliminate login scripts now?
Yeah, that's right. I've recently completed a migration. A company was using Novell, and they migrated to Active Directory. Now, they had a very extensive Novell logon script, and we basically took all but one line of that logon script and turned it into a preference. We had dynamic printer mappings happening, so whenever anyone went to any floor of the building, they'll get the local printers. We had all the drive mappings mapping based on...
How do you know when they changed floor?
So, again, on the IP address range.
By the IP ranges. So, they're on the wireless.
So, they're all fixed on the desk. Okay. If wireless, obviously, if you're going between floors, that might be a little bit iffy.
But they plug in the new cable and right away it would flip their printers around.
That's right. Or if they just log off and log back onto another machine, they'll see that the client that they've just logged onto has different printers, different IP address.
Yeah.
We did everything. We were even controlling the local administrator group, which is another really interesting one, is that a lot of times IT support need to give administrative access to workstations.
Right.
And group policy had an option called restricted groups, but ironically, the problem with that was the restricted groups option was quite restrictive in that you couldn't easily give a single user admin access to a single workstation.
Right.
So with group policy preferences, now you have the ability to target the administrator group on a single machine because you've got this advanced targeting, and one of the things you can target on is the computer name.
Right.
And then you can target, okay, so this user can be a local administrator just on this machine, but everyone else needs to be removed.
Interesting.
So, you can now granularly add users to local administrator groups on your computers.
What sorts of privileges do I need to set this up in the first place?
So, group policy is computer-based policy. You need to be able to edit the group policy. So the group policy object.
Yeah, and I think there's a group policy operator group.
There is. So they can probably link the policy object. And, so a lot of the times it's just domain admins.
Right.
I could talk about advanced group policy management. That's probably a talk for another time. That's a completely different tool.
Sure.
But you could control it that way. But whoever has the ability to edit the group policy, because the group policy is running processes as the local system, if it's a computer setting. Otherwise, if the group policy preference is running as the local user, it's using the context of the local user.
All right. So, that's policy settings within the workstation as well as ones in the domain.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pretty amazing, isn't it?
Cool stuff. And not surprised at all, you're repeating the session now because you packed the house the first time around. And
that's right.
People were complaining they couldn't get in there.
That's right. So, and I've got a website as well that has has heaps of tutorials that I've written.
Okay.
I call it the Group Policy Center. And the address is www.grouppolicy.biz, B-I-Z.
Okay.
Pretty simple to remember.
Sure.
And I've got a lot of tutorials on that site that talk about pretty much everything we've just talked about then.
So just walk people through the setting up preferences. Through
it. People just, when they see it, they just, the light flicks on. And so many people have said to me, after I saw your session or after I saw that on your website, I just started getting rid of my logon scripts.
Yeah.
And that's what I really want to hear.
It's a great goal to set.
Yeah.
Alan, thanks so much for coming on the show.
No worries. Thank you.
And we'll talk to you next week on Run As Radio.